Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the good meetings we've had.
Amen.
We want to thank you for the safe trips that everybody's come. I want to thank you for the crowds that have come, the people that have come, the
Amen.
Help. Lord, all the provision you've made. Lord, most of all, we want to thank you for you.
Amen.
We want to thank you for the sacrifice you made.
Amen.
We want to thank you for the love that you gave, that you shed and manifested on the cross of Calvary. Lord, everything we have is in you.
Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
I pray the Lord tonight you would bless. Pray the Lord you would take your word and use it and bless it and touch hearts and lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated.
Praise the Lord.
Some of the kids weren't here when the kids sang the first time.
They're going to sing another time. Always something trying to interrupt me. I had a 14-hour trip coming up here and got interrupted and made 26 hours. So, but that was my second one in the two trips I've made lately. So, I'd like to start with a thought out of John chapter 9. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to discuss a little bit about what it says and then take a thought out of it and go from there. In John chapter 9, we find the story of Jesus and his disciples walking, going somewhere, and on the road as they travel, they meet a man. And he's been blind since his mother's womb. Been blind since he was born. Never one time in his life has he seen the light of day. Never one time has he seen his mother. Never one time has he seen his father. Never one time has he seen his kids, if he has any. Totally in darkness, having never known, seen, or understood light. And they go along, and Jesus comes to him, and there's a discussion between the disciples and Jesus as to whose sin it was that caused this man to be blind. And Jesus says it wasn't anybody's sin. It was just that the glory of God might be manifested in it. And he spits on the ground and he makes clay and he puts it on the man's eyes. And he says, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. And he went and he came back seeing. Well, there was a problem with it. It happened to be on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees got a little bit upset. And people started running around and said, man, is this the guy that was blind? Look at him. He sees. And some of them said, yeah, that's him. And some said, well, I'm not sure. It looks like him. And he said, yeah, it's me. It's me. And the funny thing you notice in this chapter is a lot of know-nots and a lot of people that know. And a lot of people that think they know. And he went on, and even his parents had problem with knowing. They got down and said, yeah, that's our boy. But I don't know how he got healed. Got the best eyewitness out of the whole group. Right there telling them what happened.
Amen.
And they didn't even know.
Amen.
They didn't believe the message. That's the main problem. And went along, the Pharisees finally got a hold of him one little bit later. And they said, man, give the glory to God. Give the glory to God. This man that healed you, he's just a sinner. Man, he ain't nothing. Don't worry about him. Just give the glory to God. The blind man made an answer that I think is important. He said, whether this man be a sinner or no, I know not. But this thing I know. I was blind, and now I see.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The difference being, and that you find in verse 25 of John chapter 9, the difference being there were some things he didn't know, but there was one thing he knew. There was one thing he was sure about. There was one thing he was convinced of. There was one thing that you couldn't change his mind on.
Amen.
There was one thing that was as solid as a foundation that he could lean on, that he knew that no evidence in all the world could change his mind on. He knew that for 25, 35, 40 years, 50 years, I don't know how long it was, but he knew for so many years he had been blind. Jesus healed.
Amen.
And he didn't care if all the world said he was a sinner. He didn't care if all the world cursed Jesus. He didn't care what all the world said. I knew that I was blind. And Jesus came along and Jesus healed me.
Amen.
I want to talk tonight about some things I know.
Amen.
I've been on the mission field and working in Lagos now about a year and a half. And I'd like to say I know how to start a church, but we got one faithful member, so I can't say that. I'm glad that we have one faithful member. Don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you honestly, we probably have more empty chairs in our church building with only 20 chairs than we have in this building right now, many times. But he's a faithful brother. He's a faithful witness, and I appreciate it. Pray for him. His name is Reuben. His wife's against him. His whole family's against him. He's had problems, but he's stuck. I'd like to say I know how to win Mexicans, but I can't say much of that either. I'd like to say I know how to be a good missionary, but I can't show a lot, and I can't say here's the proof of it all. I'm trying a lot of things. I keep working at it. There's a lot of things I'd like to say I know how to do, but I don't know how to do a lot of things. I can't tell you, you come to me and ask me, well, how do I do this? How do I be a good missionary? How do I go about winning souls? How do I go about doing a lot of this thing? I can try and give you some principles. I can try and give you some things that I've learned over the years, but I can't say I am absolutely sure of a lot of things, like how to build a church right. But I'm learning. But I know something. I first thought about this, I guess, a lot of these things, when Cindy died 2.5 years ago. It made me go back and think, what are you resting on, man? Upon what is your foundation? Upon what do you go on talking, living, believing the way you do? On what? I mean, we buried Cindy and we talked about her going to heaven. And I thought, sure. Where's the proof? Well, my friend, the proof is in the Bible.
Amen.
And the proof is in my heart. And I have some things I know. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me start in verse 8. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed, whom I have believed.
Amen.
I deal with people day in and day out, and they don't know. Ken Hutchison was talking last night about people around the world, and they don't know their sins are forgiven. They don't know that they have a salvation. They don't know that they have eternal life. Oh, I talk to people day in and day out. They say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But they don't know Him. They don't know in whom they have believed. They don't know or understand what He's done. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the sacrifice Amen. That He made. They don't know the power of the gospel or the power of what Jesus Christ did.
That's right.
But I know it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I look at myself many times over and I'm a failure. And I know one time this past month I got up early in the morning and I said, I quit. I quit. It lasted about an hour, and I never told my wife.
Amen. Amen.
Because I made another decision a few years ago. I'm not going to quit. So help me, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah, amen.
So I quit quitting, okay?
Amen. Amen.
I'd gotten up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was downtown in the park, watching them sweep the park with those great big old palm leaves. I cried and I talked to God for it about a while. I said, no, Lord, I'm not going home until you tell me it's time to go home. And when I do go home, I'm going to be able to say that I was there because Jesus sent me there.
Amen.
And I'm here now because Jesus sent me back.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I may fail, but I plan not to quit.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I get discouraged sometimes. And you wonder, when you feel like a failure, how do you go on? When nothing seems to work, when everything you do seems to be wrong, and you feel like you're just the most miserable creature on God's earth, you're not very good at anything. How do you go on? I know something they don't know.
That's right. Amen.
I know something they need to know. You see, I know the free pardon of sins in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know the sacrifice that He made once for all
Amen.
Is sufficient
Amen.
To pay for all
Amen.
My sins one time forever. And that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. I know that my sins are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
I know I have eternal life. I know that I've been justified.
Amen.
I am not righteous in myself, as Paul said in me, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Man, he said no good thing, and I sometimes think I'm less, you know. I think there's a whole lot of minus good in me. But I know this, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, God placed on him in that one eternal sacrifice,
amen,
slain from the foundation of the world. He put the sins of Eddie Kincaid. He put the sins of every person in this room. He put the sins of every Mexican that has ever lived, and every person on the face of this earth, every Korean, every Christian, every lost, Jesus cursing, God cursing people on the face of the earth. God placed every one of their sins on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was condemned. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ suffered the chastisement of God for my sins.
Amen.
Because one man died. Because one man died, I live.
Amen.
And because one man died, I have hope of life eternal. Because one man died, I can stand up before people, although I'm just no better than they are, and tell them there is salvation in Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Because there was a sacrifice offered for your sins.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus died. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everything I have is based on that. Everything I have is based upon His sacrifice.
That's right.
Because I know whom I have believed. I preach.
Amen.
He also says, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Against that day. Sometimes you have to come back to that often. I am persuaded. What have you committed to Jesus? Have you ever
Amen.
Thought about it?
Amen.
What have you committed to Jesus? Well, I came to Him 10 years ago, and I committed my sin to Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner, and I deserve hell. I deserve the chastisement of God. I deserve the righteous indignation of God against me forever and forever. I deserve to burn in hell. Lord, You said, and the promise says, it says it right there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Lord, I call.
Amen.
Save my soul. I make You my Lord, my Master today. Please save my soul. I claim the promise. And He saved me.
Amen.
That day I took dirty old wretched Eddie Kincaid and I committed my judgment into the hands of Jesus Christ. And I left it there. I try my best not to ever go back and take it back. Oh no. I want Jesus to handle it. You see, I've committed my day of judgment into Jesus' hands.
Amen.
I've committed my justification into His hands.
Amen.
I've committed my life into His hands.
Amen.
I've committed my family and their lives into His hands. I've committed everything I have into His hands. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Amen.
There are so many people that just don't know.
That
tell me, Kensai, who knows? Who knows? I don't know if I have eternal life. Nobody knows if they have eternal life. Nobody knows for sure that they're going to heaven. We're all waiting till God comes back and He makes a great big judgment and He sends a few this way and a few that way and maybe a few will make it in. They don't know. And so when I get discouraged, I get back up and I say, well, I've got something they need to know.
Amen.
And I go back and I preach it again because I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And I am persuaded that He is able
Amen.
To keep that which I've committed against Him, to Him against that day. Job, chapter 19. Job knew something.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Job chapter 19 and verse 23 says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Hallelujah.
And that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth.
Amen.
And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God,
Hallelujah.
Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I know something.
Amen.
Amen. I know something.
Amen.
There are millions and billions of people around the world, and they serve dead gods. There are probably close to 1 billion people in this world that are Roman Catholic and they serve a God that's dead on a tree. They serve a God that's dead in idolatry. They serve a God that's dead because all He is a statue, a piece of wood, a piece of stone. They serve gods that are clothed with all different kinds of clothes that people make on this world. They serve gods that sit in glass cages. They serve gods all different types, but their gods are dead.
Amen.
Over there in Arab countries, they serve a God that's dead. They serve prophets and they follow prophets and they do all sorts of things to serve gods that are dead. But I know something.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
said.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification and now lives.
Amen.
Because he lives. Because he lives. I've got a message to preach.
Amen.
Because he lives.
Amen.
There is salvation full and free for the person who believes and calls on Jesus Christ. Because he lives. I can keep on going on. I can get up again and go on again.
Amen.
And I can say he lives. Believe on him and be saved.
Amen.
Oh, I know he lives. I know that when he died, he took my sins with him. And I died with him. Oh, but he rose again.
Hallelujah.
He came out of that grave. I don't serve a dead God, I serve a living God.
Amen.
I serve the Son of the living God. I serve a God who is alive today and powerful and loving and kind and generous, but also a God of judgment and a God of condemnation to those who don't believe. But I'll have you know I serve a living God.
Amen.
I serve a God who looks into the hearts and reins and lives of people. A God who convicts hearts, who touches lives and changes people. A God who can win Mexico.
Amen.
A God who can win Lagos de Moreno.
That's right.
A God who can start a church in Mexico that will start other churches, that will send out missionaries, and that may one day, if the Lord tarries, send missionaries back to this country, because this country is heading down the path just as fast as it can go. The day will come when this country, if the Lord tarries is coming, is going to need some missionaries in a bad, bad way. I thank God that this country sends out many, many, many missionaries. But there have been other countries that sent them out.
That's right.
And now we're sending them back.
That's right.
You see, I serve a God who can. And the only gods who can are gods that live. And my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And because he lives, I have salvation. Because he lives, I have a message. Because he lives, there is salvation for somebody else who will call upon him. I know my Redeemer liveth. It says, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know what Job is really asking for here is a day of judgment, a day to meet God, a day to have some things straightened out, a day of reckoning with God. You know, there is a day coming when God will come in judgment. And because I know that, I preach.
Amen.
I know that there is a day coming when God himself shall sit upon a great white throne, and all the dead shall rise, and all the dead shall stand before him, and all the books will be opened, and they will be judged, every man according to his works. And those that aren't found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And works won't save, so they need something else. So a judgment according to works, my friend, is a judgment of condemnation.
That's right.
They need a Savior.
Amen.
They need a Savior. And I preach. I do my best to preach that Jesus Christ saves. And that Jesus Christ took our judgment on the cross of Calvary. And that those who are in Jesus Christ, when they meet God in judgment, will meet a different judgment. Because you see, they won't be judged according to their works of sin. Because sin will have already been judged in them. Paid for, wiped out, the slate wiped clean. And when God opens the book and he looks on my account, and he sees Eddie Kincaid, son of Lyndall Kincaid, it's covered with blood.
Amen. Amen.
Because Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
And all to him I owe. I know these things. I know something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because I know what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And because I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and he shall judge men, and he shall judge all men. And for most, that is a judgment of terror.
That's right.
And I, knowing the terror of the Lord, persuade men.
Amen.
Daily, I try and persuade men. Daily, missionaries, pastors, preachers, soul winners, people around the world are trying to persuade men.
Amen.
But sometimes we get tired of persuading, and we just like to give them a track and let them go. No. That's not always the best way to do it. Sometimes we need to sit down and reason with them and persuade them and tell them over and over and over again, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Your sins are going to condemn you. Your sins are going to send you to hell. Your sins are going to become before God Almighty, and he will judge you because he's a righteous God, and he will not allow sin into his presence. He will not allow the sinner into him without being righteous before him. God will not allow the sinner into heaven. God will send the sinner into hell. But there is a remedy.
Amen.
There is a remedy, and I know what the remedy is, my friend. The remedy is Jesus Christ. The remedy is the one who died on the cross of Calvary. The remedy is the one who paid for all our sins one time. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Amen.
We go out day in and day out. We go into poor homes. We go into homes that are not nice. We go into homes that don't have running water. We go into homes of people that can't read or write. We go into homes of people that don't understand so many things. We go into homes of people where one person wants to hear the gospel and the other people violently oppose him. And we keep going back. We stand on streets, the street corners, and preach. And I haven't had too many rocks thrown at me. I haven't had too many people yell at me. But they don't want us there. You know, it's always a pleasure to preach here. Because you see, I've got about 100 people here that came to hear.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Amen.
Stand on a street corner where they don't like your message. Stand on a street corner where they would just as soon spit at you as look at you after they hear what you say. Where they get mad at you because you don't like the virgin. Where they get mad at you because you don't have a lot of confidence in Peter. They get mad at you because you don't have confidence in priests. And they just assume that you left them alone and everybody could go their own way. Kalakian, they say. Everyone do his own way. Do that month after month, week after week, day after day. And do it sometimes when nobody even comes out the door. And they hear you start to preach and they close the door. They turn up the radio. They play their trumpet. Yeah. Or the dog's barking up there and nobody cares enough to even shut the dog up. They don't want to hear him. But knowing the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
We go back and we try and persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we ought to be soul winners.
That's right.
Knowing the terror of the Lord, we ought to be involved in soul winning. Yes. Knowing the terror of the Lord that there is a judgment day coming when all men shall stand before a living and a righteous and a just God who cannot condone sin. We ought to be out there trying to tell people you're going to hell and you need a Savior.
Amen.
God is a just and a terrible God. And God, no matter what psychologists or liberal preachers or however many preachers of the world there are say, God will send a sinner to an eternal hell.
That's right.
For an eternity. And there is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. There is no limbo. There is no place to pay for it now and get it taken care of later. You see, it was all paid for one time with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God will not accept another substitute.
Amen.
Not 10 million years of purgatory. God paid it once. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we need to persuade men.
Amen.
Romans chapter 13. Verse 11, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time. But now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." We preach that Jesus Christ is coming again. We also preach that He's coming again soon. And for us, that's a joy. But for many millions and billions of people, it will not be a day of joy.
Right.
And knowing the time, knowing that the time is soon, knowing that the time is coming faster and faster every day. The apostles said it was soon. And that was 2,000 years ago. How much sooner is it now? Knowing the time, we need to be out doing the work. Knowing the time, we need to be out getting out the gospel. Knowing the time, we ought to be pushing forward to persuade men. We ought to be preaching on street corners and telling friends and passing out tracts and giving them our utmost to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Why? Why? Because the day... The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And it's time to wake out of sleep.
Amen.
Oh, sometimes we get so comfortable in what we do. I can get comfortable preaching the gospel. I can get comfortable in my routine going out two times a day and preaching and trying to talk to people that want to talk to me. I can get comfortable in doing that and forget that there is an urgency and there is a need for getting the gospel to people and making a point that whoever I talk to and whoever I see and every person I run into is also a sinner bound for hell without Jesus Christ. And they need to know the gospel. They need to be convinced. They need to be persuaded. They need to be helped. They need to be shown the way. They need to be shown to Jesus Christ. We know the time. We need to be persuading men. We need to go out and get them.
Amen. Amen.
Some very simple things. Very simple. We know. I don't know who all is in this room today. I can look at many of you and I say I know you. Some I don't know that I've ever met. Some of you in here may be lost. And if so, you need the gospel.
Amen.
I want you to know today that you don't have a whole eternity to come to Jesus. There is an urgency about it, my friend. You see, you don't even have a promise of tomorrow.
Right.
In fact, it may all end it for all of us today. But I know this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and He paid for them all, and He will save your soul if you'll but call on Him. I know that, very simply. And I know that if you'll call, He'll save your soul. For the rest of us here that are Christians, that claim the name of Jesus Christ, that claim to know Jesus Christ and the saving power of forgiveness of sins, and the saving power of everlasting life, and the saving power of justification and righteousness before God. Seeing we know these things, we ought to be busy.
Amen.
We ought to be busy.
Amen.
We ought to be busy telling neighbors. We ought to be busy praying for people. We ought to be busy doing our best to get the gospel out. We ought to be busy supporting those who are doing it. Supporting those who can do it better. We ought to be busy supporting them with prayers. We ought to be busy supporting them any way we can. We ought to be busy telling neighbors and friends and loved ones. We ought to be busy coming to church to strengthen the brethren, to strengthen the church, to get together and worship God and learn more about God. There are a lot of things we can do to get the gospel out, but we need to be interested in it. We need to be going for it. We need to be doing it. And not tomorrow, because now is the time. We know some things.
Amen.
I know that God's word is true, and I know that those who sow shall also reap one day.
Amen.
Because I know these simple things, I get up and I go on. I'd encourage you to do the same.
Amen.
I'd encourage you to take the gospel you know. You know that blind man? His testimony wasn't, man, I've got all the doctrines figured out. That wasn't his testimony. His preaching wasn't, man, bring me your questions. I'll explain it all to you. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand it all. But I know one thing.
Amen.
Whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
And you know, I can say that 10 years ago, I walked in darkness. I walked without the light of God. I walked as a sinner condemned for hell, and I needed a Savior. But now I have salvation, and now I have the eternal life, and now I have justification in Jesus Christ. I don't know all the things that are going on. I can't explain all the mysteries of this book. I can't explain a whole lot of things in this book maybe that some people want to know. But I know where I was lost. Now I'm saved. I know where I was on the road to hell. Now I'm on the road to heaven. I know. Oh, Jesus saved my soul.
Amen.
And I know He'll save yours.
Amen.
And I know He'll save those in Lagos de Moreno and Aguas Calientes and León, Guanajuato. If they'll but call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this. And I preach that I know it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.